Hi, I'm Libby.
And I'm Riley, and welcome to On the Come Up.
So Riley, you're always working on like a million theater projects.
Always.
What's going on right now?
Right now, I'm so excited because I'm working on The Wedding Singer with the Village Players.
Yes.
And what's really fun is like this cast is amazing. We're dancing all together. We're having a great time. But what's been the highlight for me is working with my dear friend, Nicole Tuttle Robb,
wow,
who happens to be joining us in the studio today. Oh. Hi, Nicole.
Hi.
Thanks so much for being here with us.
Absolutely. Thank you for inviting me.
Libby and I, when we were kind of prepping for this podcast, we were talking about you as our multifaceted queen because you just have such a stacked resume with so many different incredible things. So it's hard to really narrow down a focus, but we really want to get the full scope of who Nicole Robb is.
All right.
So start us off with your background, like where you grew up, where you went to school, and all of that.
Love that. Okay, so I started in a little town called LaGrange, Ohio. That's kind of where I grew up. And my father was the English teacher, and he taught drama and did the drama club for a while. And then my mom took over the drama club. And so kind of like this intersection of arts, storytelling, like all of that theater was, it was built in. And my mom's actually an author. And so it's just everything kind of, I had no choice, really.
Yeah.
It was just going to happen no matter what.
I feel like it happens that way sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and especially when you have parents who are so passionate about the things that they do, it makes it really easy for you to become passionate about those things as well.
Oh,
for
yeah,
sure.
Absolutely. Like, my high school didn't have a drama program when I was going into it. It had since long died. But when I was coming up in eighth grade, I said, guys, we have to move. Like, we have to go to a different school. I can't go to a high school without a drama club. Like, do you know who I am?
Right. Priorities.
No, exactly.
Right? And so my mom was like, you know what? Let me go talk to the principal. And she started the drama club back up again so that it would be there for my 4 years.
That's awesome.
It was either that or move. Like,
yeah.
No, 100%. Which one's more work?
100%. And I see where you get all of your, like, take charge and creativity from. That's incredible.
Yeah, they really do just kind of jump into everything. And I do too.
So how did you then end up in Toledo?
Yeah, so I actually went to college. I did my undergrad and my graduate degree in theater at BGSU.
Okay.
And so kind of came to the area through there. Danced around for a while. I went out and toured with a touring theater company in Minnesota for a couple years. And then I went to Cleveland for a little while. And now I'm back.
I love it. And you and Libby can bond over Talons Up.
Yeah.
We love a BGSU grad. But yeah, you obviously, like you were saying that, you know, the intersection of arts and storytelling. Mm-hmm. I think that's such a great way to describe you because obviously theater is like your greatest and first love. Mm-hmm. But I really want to talk about multifaceted queen, that you are a published author, which is so incredible. So you've written 8 books. Is that right?
Yeah. 9, but one of them's not out yet.
Yes. Okay, yes. So 8 published books, 9 is in the works.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about like the genre you write and then kind of what got you into writing.
Absolutely. So going way back to the very beginning, my mom was an author. And so I remember she would write at all the time. She would take me to my volleyball games or my choir concerts and she would sit in the back and write. And I wasn't allowed to read what she wrote until I turned 18. but I always had this idea of like, oh man, my mom can tell really cool stories and I really want to do that. So I started writing down just like my dreams first. Like that was kind of my thing. I just woke up in the morning and write down my dream into a little story. And
ooh,
I loved doing that. And so it really just kind of evolved from there. But I've always been drawn to stories of like romance and like fantasy, like these big, like fantastical worlds. I love that.
Yeah. It's amazing.
And I'm curious if you could talk a little bit about like what inspires your work and a little bit of your process. I know you mentioned writing your dreams, but what does that look like now?
It has absolutely evolved since then. I get a lot of my inspiration from music, actually.
Oh, cool.
So I wrote an entire series based on one May Day Parade song. So like sometimes I'll just hear it and I get a whole idea by the end of the 3 minutes that a song is up. I just know what this whole world's going to be. And so that helps me a lot. I'm a music writer, so I really can't write when it's silent.
That makes sense.
Well, and also, like, not all of your books are within the same series, right? Mm-hmm. So talk a little bit about kind of, like, the different things that you've written. Give us, like, the brief overview.
Yeah. So I have all of mine are falling under the romance umbrella, but they have, like, their different subgenres. Mm-hmm. So I have my fantasy, which is a brand new world, very reminiscent of, like, ACOTAR. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. And then I have my paranormal romance, which is like Twilight, but for adults.
Yeah.
And then
Wait, Twilight's not for adults?
Well, I mean, if you ask me now, yeah, it 100% is. But then I also have like a dystopian one too. But they all have that romance through line because that's what, like, for me, that's how I connect to a story is like the love behind it.
I love that. Yeah. That's incredible. And then one thing that I think is really cool about you is that you are very, very keen on connecting with your audience. So obviously, like, there are some authors who will just, you know, put out a book and then just see how people perceive it. And then that's the end of it. You are very proactive about going to lots of tabling events and conferences and things like that. So talk a little bit about kind of like why you are so connected with the people reading your books and what that's like promoting your own work. And doing things like that.
Yeah, it's really fun. It's like it's both a pro and a con of being an indie author.
Right.
You know, the con side is, you know, we really don't have the push of a marketing team from a big publishing house. But what we do have is actual personal connections with our readers.
Yeah.
Because sometimes big authors in these big houses don't get a chance to do that. Mm-hmm. So I'm very fortunate, actually, that I get to go to these programs and all those tabling events and the book festivals, and I get to actually have conversations where a lot of times with those bigger authors, they've got lines that they got to keep going. Right. Where I sometimes will have full conversations with, like, some of these readers that come up that I never would have gotten a chance to.
For
and
sure.
It's awesome. Just so awesome to hear what they latch on to, because that helps me, like, that tells me which direction is working and, like, if there's more I should add, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Do Feedback. You have, like, a memorable conversation that comes to mind when you think of those types of relationships you've formed?
Oh, absolutely. I had somebody come up to me and tell me that my paranormal romance series actually helped them kind of click into place like a puzzle of their personal identity.
Oh,
like,
wow.
they kind of, through reading about my character's journey, found that journey with themselves.
Wow.
And that was the nicest thing I've ever heard anybody say about my writing.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
Like, I've made it at that point. Like,
yeah.
Nothing will ever top that.
Oh, that's so awesome.
That's incredible.
I'm curious, outside of your books, if you have any recs that you'd like to give our listeners.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, so I just started reading Dungeon Crawler Carl.
Ooh,
oh,
yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Which is huge right now, and I think it is great. It is so fun, and it's got a lot of books in it, so I'm not all the way through yet, but I fully recommend it to anybody looking to kind of dive in because it's fun.
Yeah.
It's got like such an easy read to it, but I love it right now. That's my current obsession.
That's so funny. Libby and I just got that book recommended
yes.
to
yes.
us. That's hilarious.
Well, then I think you have to read it.
I know. This is a sign, maybe. And I'm curious too, if you're able to give us any little teasers or sneak peeks for book 9.
Yeah. So book 9, it's called Me and the Boy in 5C, as of right now, at least. Who knows what happens? But I'm kind of this hybrid author, so I do have an agent, and this book's with my agent right now on submission. So it's out in the world, and we'll see what happens to it. But it is about two rivals that live next door to each other in LA, and they're musicians, and they kind of fight each other for the right to fill the space with their music because, you know,
Ooh.
Those walls are so thin in LA.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they accidentally have a duet go viral.
Oh, wow.
And then they are kind of forced to work together. And so
I love that concept. That's
yeah.
so interesting.
Thank you. Yeah.
You have me on the hook. I'm ready.
Do you hear that? Do you hear that, universe?
I love it. And so then obviously, like we started out talking about in this episode, that you are heavily involved with theater.
Mm-hmm.
And so kind of walk us through your journey going from all of your tours and things like that to then coming to Toledo and doing community theater here.
Yeah, I did my very first show it was the summer between my second and third grade year. I was a Who in Seussical the Musical.
Aww. Oh, I love that.
And I remember that show closed And my parents took me to a Pizza Hut after the show, you know, celebratory.
Of course.
And I went, guys, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. And they went, sure, kid. But it was true. I mean, in some capacity or another, I've been doing theater pretty much my entire life since then. I worked in a lot of the community theaters around where I was growing up. Obviously, my parents were both very involved in my school's drama club. So I had that connection. Went off to college and majored in acting and directing, kind of keeping that love alive. But then finding another side of the love that I had for theater, which was both directing and theater for youth. Because I actually took a theater for youth class at BG and then got a job immediately after graduating at Climb Theater in Minnesota, where I did theater for youth.
Oh,
and got paid for it.
I love that.
Which is so fun.
And you said acting and directing both at BG. So were they separate majors or were they different specializations? How does that kind of work?
Yeah. So they had a couple different specializations. The one specifically was Bachelor of Arts in Communications, acting and directing.
Cool. Okay.
So it was that one together. You could do like musical theater. I know my husband did youth theater and puppetry as his. Because doesn't that make perfect sense?
What an icon. What an icon.
And so there was a bunch of different ones like that. And then I went back for my graduate after a couple years. I went to Minnesota, came back, got my grad degree, my master's in theater specifically, just broad theater. Awesome.
Which, so you mentioned your husband, which we do want to talk about.
I love talking about him.
So you met him through theater. Can you talk a little bit about that story and then how you're kind of working together?
Absolutely.
Now.
So we met almost 11 years ago now doing a show called Dog Sees God, which is like a show about the Peanuts characters all grown up. And so he was playing the Charlie Brown character and I was playing Sally Brown. But we met doing that show. By the end of the run, we were together.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
A showman's
turned like a romance, you know? Like, love that.
I know. That's always the best.
Yeah.
And then you guys still work together and kind of have worked together. Mm-hmm. So talk about kind of, you know, when you met, navigating like all the different places that you guys have been and the things that you guys have done together.
Yeah. It's been wild how often we have worked together professionally, because we went to Climb Theater together.
Right.
And the HR department told us at one point during our second year there was basically like, you two are like the poster for how to work together with somebody that you are relationship, like somebody that you are connected with. And it's just, we just work so well collaboratively. We have good communication. And so it's so easy to fill professional roles with him while also, you know, loving him.
Yeah. Oh, that's so sweet. I love it. And I love that because you write romance, you also have such a great romance story for yourself. Like, that's really cool.
Yeah. It's awesome to write, you know, books about men that just like absolutely are obsessed with their ladies. And I got one of those too. So
100%.
It's great.
It's iconic. And so obviously now you guys are back in Toledo and you are working on a lot of different community theater projects here. So talk a little bit about what specifically you and Zach together have been up to and what you prefer doing in the community.
Yeah. So right now at this moment, I am working on three shows at once. And so, but I love it. I love
it
so
much.
Jeez,
who would do that?
Yeah. You couldn't relate at all, could you, Riley? And so it's been really fun. A lot of my work here in Toledo so far has been on the acting side, as I kind of, you know, infiltrate, that's the word I'm going to use, my way into the Toledo theater scene. And so I'm starting to kind of get onto the side of directing, like here with The Village. I have made my way onto the board there. See, infiltrating. I'm working on it. And I also have started getting to like the producer side of things too, which is really exciting and a new thing for me. I've never like really produced shows before. So I'm doing so many things right now and I'm loving every second of it.
Yeah.
Are there any kind of favorites that stand out of different roles or shows that you've worked on in Toledo?
Yes. And I love all the things I got to do so far. I loved that I got to meet Riley during Disenchanted.
Oh, what a fun show.
But I do have to give a shout out to, I was just in a production of a literal dream show for me. The Guy Who Didn't Like Musicals is a Starkid show. And Starkid has been one of my favorite theater companies since I saw them nearly, no, about 11 years ago now, because Zach introduced it to me pretty early on. Yeah. And since then, I have loved them. They've written amazing shows, and somehow Toledo got to do one, and somehow I got to be in it. And even cooler than that, we're bringing the entire group of that cast back together to do a sequel to that musical in just a couple months.
That's so awesome.
It's so amazing.
It's really cool.
And you could tell, because I did see that production, you can tell just how passionate you guys were about the material. Mm-hmm. But I think that show in and of itself is such a testament to, like, the theater kid energy of it all.
Yes.
Because those star kids, man, like, they are just so fun.
They are.
They are always willing to jump into these zany and fun roles. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's awesome. The work that they do is great.
Yeah.
And the fact that you guys could bring that here and introduce new people to that in our community is really incredible.
Yeah.
I love it. And then I do want to ask, too, do you have a favorite on the production side thing that you like about either directing, producing, or choreography, because you do that as well?
Yeah.
Any of that side that you prefer?
Oh, gosh. Prefer? I don't know. I'm not sure I could ever. Like, if somebody said you have to pick one, I'm not sure I could.
Yeah.
Like, I really do think that I love being able to jump and wear these different hats.
Multifaceted queen.
That's what keeps me so fulfilled, I think. I think, and that's why my cup never feels like it's drained and it never feels like it's overflowing.
Yeah.
Is because I always have the different things that, while my schedule looks absolutely insane most of the time, it's because it's different things and they're filling, like, different parts of my heart. And so it's really nice. But I really do like that I've been starting to write more for the stage. And so I just had a play that was showcased with the Toledo Voices showcase at the Toledo Rep. And that's a side of theater that I haven't done as much. So I'm excited to kind of explore that more.
And did I see right? Do you have another one coming up that you wrote? And you wrote that a while back, right? Because I saw a picture of you and Zach together on the cover for that.
Zach and I are going to be performing a show that I wrote. And I'm really excited. It's one of those things that I wrote something so long ago and I never thought anything would come from it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, to have a partner who is so encouraging is just really exciting about that.
That's so awesome.
That's so special.
Mm-hmm. And talking through these different, you know, shows that you've got to be a part of and with different theater companies, I'm curious if there's something that you can kind of pinpoint that you feel like makes a community theater strong and can do these great shows.
Oh, absolutely. It's the people. And, like, I know that that's a bit of a cop-out, but it's truly so honest because there are people in community theater that would go above and beyond and go the extra 20 miles for any other person that they share the stage with. And I just think that that's so beautiful because we're all volunteering our time for the most part. Some production teams in the area do get paid, which is wonderful. But
not necessarily a livable wage either. So, yes, it's appreciated. But, like, to your point, it is
a labor of love.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And so it is something that people are there because they are passionate about it. And I think that that passion is what makes it so special. And it's what makes it a community.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I also want to hear from you how people outside of the theater community, how you think they can help support these shows and productions that are going on.
Yeah, that's a great, okay, so community theaters are always looking for people. And whether that's to come be in the audience or to come help build a set or paint a set or even just move wood from one storage unit to another. And we're always looking for people like that. You can come usher. You can come work the concession stand. So there are a million different ways that people can get involved and never have to touch the stage if that's not something that they're interested in. And I just think that that's also a really cool way. I've met a lot of really awesome people who have come to usher shows that were like, I'm never going to perform, but I love being in a theater space. And I think that that's really awesome.
That's awesome.
And it's a really accessible thing, too, I think, because a lot of people can do volunteer work for community groups and then get a comp ticket.
Oh, yeah.
Which, I mean, obviously, like, most of the community groups don't have tickets that are that pricey. But at the same time, I mean, if you really want to see a show and you're struggling financially, like, that's a really great way to have that exchange.
I'm volunteering for a show this weekend. So, like, they're
100%.
Absolutely. It's one of my favorite things to do.
It's awesome. I know. And we've started to rope Libby into volunteering. Volunteering with theater groups, doing hair and makeup stuff, which is so fun.
And that's absolutely another way. There's so many costuming. Like, if you know how to sew, literally just walk up to a theater. They will take you.
Genuinely true. you're doing all this incredible work in the theater community. You're also publishing all these amazing books. And then on top of it, you have a day job.
Yeah.
So your actual 9-to-5 is working with the Toledo Area Sanitary District.
Mm-hmm.
So can you talk about your role there and then just a little bit about what your day-to-day looks like?
Yeah, I am the Community Outreach and Education Coordinator at the Toledo Area Sanitary District, which is so many words. But I basically, what that means is I handle a lot of the education presentations. So whether that's community events like setting up a table or actually physically going into schools or other activities to give presentations or lectures on mosquitoes, ticks, and how people can better prepare themselves. And basically part of the job description for this, because, you know, it's a scientific field. They were kind of asking for somebody with a science background. And I went, with my Master of Arts in Theater, went, actually, I think I know what you need. Because their description was, go into schools and deliver a presentation in a fun way.
Oh, so you that's exactly up your alley.
They need a theater kid.
Storytelling.
Yeah, they absolutely needed a theater kid. And so I am so excited to be the personality hire there. It's a great time. But it's been really cool to learn more things, but then be able to share them with kids and have them actually learn how to protect themselves during the summer months from, you know, mosquitoes and ticks, but do it in a fun way.
And I have two follow-ups for you on the education component.
Yeah.
First, debunk this for me.
Okay.
Are mosquitoes attracted to some people more than other people?
It depends on your current situation. So here's what it is. Mosquitoes are attracted to strong smells and odors and CO2 or carbon dioxide.
Okay.
So if you are a little more stinky that day and you're breathing out heavier, a mosquito is going to come towards you.
Ooh.
So if you go for a run outside, wear your repellent.
Tips on avoiding mosquitoes. And then did you learn any like facts that you just had no idea about that kind of blew your mind when you started learning about this to present to others?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So there are 3,000 different kinds of mosquitoes.
Oh.
And 30 in Lucas County.
Hey, what?
Yeah.
Interesting.
30. Over 30.
Different kinds of mosquitoes. I'm not even going to lie. I know nothing about mosquitoes. So this is all new information to me. That's wild.
And it's all fun stuff that now I get to teach the kids.
Yes. Yes. Repel those mosquitoes. So obviously this job is wildly different from your other pursuits. But what's really cool is that you seem to take a lot of transferable skills from the other things that you're passionate about and bring it into this role.
Mm-hmm.
So can you talk a little bit about kind of the skills that you have found the most useful between your creative pursuits and your day job?
Absolutely. Improv. Number one. Yeah. Because even though I need to have like the basis of the scientific knowledge, the way to deliver it needs to change based on each specific classroom. And so having that kind of improv, like move on your feet kind of skill has helped so much. Because there's some groups that are like, yeah, you know what, let's sit and have a conversation. There's others where it's like, this needs to be a game.
Yeah.
Or we're not going to get anything done.
Right. I think that's so cool that you're able to really like get through with the kids and make it work, because it is, when at that age, it's like you have to have something engaging.
Yeah, and it really just depends, because there's some classrooms where I'll go in at like 8:30 in the morning, and they're like, if you make me get out of my chair, we're done.
Well, and then to your point, Libby, storytelling. I mean, the theme throughout all of this is storytelling and communication, which is so cool.
Yeah.
And I mean, we just were reading about this study that said communications majors are more crucial now than ever with our job market. So I just think it's really incredible that you have found a way to do communications and storytelling across not just your passions, but actually your career too, which is so incredible.
Yeah.
I love it.
Through all of those things, I mean, writing and theater and your day job, how are you finding balance?
I'm a schedule girl. I have my day scheduled truly to the minute sometimes, but it helps me. I like kind of seeing it. It's a puzzle to me. And so I can move things around, figure out where needs to go, like what needs to move, and just having things really laid out has helped me, and it makes me not drop any balls.
Yeah. Are you the type to like schedule like, okay, I need some downtime? Are you putting it in?
I have dinner on my schedule tonight.
Like, yes. I love that. That's the way to go.
Yeah.
Because that's just as important. I mean,
yeah.
If not more important, taking care of yourself.
Absolutely.
So I love that. You are a woman after my own heart. And I, you know, we always ask a lot of questions about advice to mm-hmm. young professionals for other young professionals. But before we get to that, I want to know your advice for indie authors. So, yeah. you know, any tips or tricks for people who are trying to break into that industry and things that they should know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think my advice just in general to any author that's getting started is to find the path that works for them, because there are so many. Like, for example, there's fully indie, there's hybrid, there's traditional. And so, and it's not all just like cookie cutter. You find right. the one that's tailor-made to you and the one that's going to work with your schedule and your creative process better. And so I think that that's my biggest advice, is don't go one path just because that's the one that seems popular or the one that might seem more lucrative in the front, like in the running, like right away, and go with the one that is going to fulfill you more, because that's just going to eventually be the one that's easier to uphold.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then do you have any advice for young professionals in general that you'd like to share?
Yeah, honestly, I would say don't lose your passion. And if you feel like you are, find a way to fill your cup still. Like, find a way to use that passion still. Like, don't let it go away. If you're in a career that you're feeling a little drained, find the way that you can still get that creativity, that passion, the thing that makes you want to get up in the morning. Find a way to make that work. And if that's, you know, you're dressing a certain way every day, like you're putting more passion in your fashion to go to work, like maybe that's how that feels. But finding a way to not lose your spark and lose your passion in, you know, a world that sometimes is kind of designed to dull a lot of that, I think that's a really, just don't let it dull your sparkle.
And you didn't think we'd leave without a Roman Empire.
Yes.
All right, Libby, why don't you kick us off today?
Okay. I think it's really perfect that you just mentioned fashion, because that's kind of what I want to talk about today.
Awesome.
I cannot stop thinking about her name's Sydney Carter. She's a former professional basketball player. Now she's the assistant coach for the Texas Longhorn women's basketball team. And she is just known for showing up in all these iconic fits every single time.
Oh, yeah.
And a few years ago, she went, like, kind of viral, receiving, like, a lot of negative criticism for these pink leather pants. And, I mean, just saying that, like, her wearing those pants and showing up like that meant that she wasn't as good of a coach. And just the way that she handled it, just being absolutely unapologetically herself.
Yeah.
And, like, just being like, no, like, I'm still professional, still a coach. I'm just gonna look good doing it. Like, I'm like, yeah, like that's what we need to do.
To your point, Nikki, she didn't dull her sparkle.
No. That's what I'm talking about, everybody.
Please.
God, the fits are so good. The suits, all of it.
No, and she just always shows up. And it drives me crazy too, especially like women's coaches in particular are such a hot topic mm-hmm. for me. Cause mm-hmm. I'm like, man, the fact that these women, they're so incredible. They're working so hard. A lot of them have to work harder than their male counterparts to gain that type of respect in the industry and all that stuff.
I mean, so just like, let them wear their pink leather pants. It's like the guys can just throw on the same basic black suit and tie and great. And it's like she's showing up the different colors, the attention to detail. It's like,
and
it's
I'm not shaming. If you genuinely feel you're most confident and comfortable, like as a woman in those, like, you know, more neutral tones and whatever, that's great. But it is the same if you feel more confident in your bold colors and your exciting fashion. Yeah, that's a great one. I will be thinking about that for the foreseeable future. Thank you. All right, Nicole, why don't you tell us yours?
Okay, this was easy for me. it's the Bridget Jones's Diary film soundtrack.
Oh my gosh, wow.
I think about it daily.
That's honestly brilliant.
It is the perfect movie soundtrack. There is none better.
Yeah, I'm actually really inclined to agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have a favorite from the soundtrack?
Mm. Yeah, so, well, obviously All By Myself is iconic, and that scene too. But I also just really love Dreamsome. And if you don't know it, go listen to it. It's so good. It's such a great song. And I think it really fits the moment. Like, something I love to do in my own personal life is I will score moments of my life. I'm like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what song would go great under this fight I'm having with my mom? Like,
no, dude. And you know what's so funny? I do that too. Yep. And then I feel so delusional. And I'm like, oh my God, I feel so insane. But then I hear people like you
yeah.
who are brave enough to say the thing that I'm not saying.
Yeah.
And I love it. Thank yeah. you.
No, you're not alone. I love the idea of like music supervision and like putting music to life. And Bridget Jones does that perfectly.
100%. I mean, I literally had a doctor's appointment today and walked in like listening to a song in my head to hype me up as yeah. I'm walking into yep. the doctor. I'm like, yeah, this is great. This yeah. is how you get through life. I don't know. Yeah. We're all in a movie. It's awesome. And then mine, I'm yes. really excited to say because Nikki is our guest. So listen, Chess. Let's talk about the Broadway musical Chess. I will tell you, I know very bare bones information mm-hmm. and on purpose because I'm considering going to see it over the summer. So I'm trying to like keep away from all the media surrounding it.
Yeah.
But here's one part of that show that I cannot stay away from. And it is Nicholas Christopher in the song Endgame Part 2, where he belts the word never. And I'm not kidding when I tell you this belt is anywhere, depending on the night, anywhere between like 20 and 23 seconds long. Mm-hmm. But imagine belting like, and it's like a tenor range, like it's way yeah. higher. And he's just like belting this out. And it's so magical because someone definitely did not post a clip of it. And I definitely did not watch the clip of it to see him belt this note. But I was just gobsmacked yeah. at one, the sheer talent, mm-hmm. at two, the sheer stamina, because my goodness,
oh, truly.
Being on that stage, because it's one thing when you hear it in the recording, okay, like, yeah, he, whatever.
Yeah.
Like my-
Like how many takes did you get for that?
Exactly. Like, yeah. Like my real Roman Empire is when I got to meet Alex Brightman, who is a Broadway star, and yes. I talked to him about his process for School of Rock, and he told me that there's only one time he's ever hit his like iconic little high note, no way you can stop the School of Rock, and it was because he had both hands on either side of the wall in the recording studio and like literally was just like crying, snotting, spitting, like all this stuff, like to get that note, and then never was able to hit it again. And he never did it for the live shows. But what's really cool, and it sounds great on the soundtrack, it sounded great live, yeah. it's whatever. But what's incredible about Nicholas Christopher, it sounds the exact same yeah. live as it does in the soundtrack. It is bananas.
That's wow. on
I really hope you get to go see it.
I know, I really hope. And here's what's crazy, right when I'm going, JoJo is stepping in for I believe the part that Lea Michele is playing right now.
JoJo.
And I just love me some JoJo.
Love some JoJo.
Any Aquamarine fans out there will relate for Absolutely. Real. Well, Nicole, thank you so much for being on
thank
our podcast.
You.
We're so happy to get all of your insight.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me.
I want to thank Nicole Tuttle-Robb, our guest on today's show. We're your hosts and producers, Libby and Riley, and our executive producer is the incredible Chris Piper.
If you have any questions, comments, or you just want to listen again, go to wgte.org/comeup or wherever you stream your podcasts.
Bye, besties!
WGTE. Voices around us.